I'd like to look at three questions tonight. Three questions that remind us in regards to the gospel. And I'd just like simply tonight to look at the three questions that it talks about in the Bible and the answers that are there. And trust that someone here tonight might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. It's a real message. It's not a message that's made up. It's real. God is real. And He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for each one of us. So it's a real message. And it's a message of hope that we can give tonight to anyone that might hear and accept. We might just open our Bibles to Luke chapter 13. And the three questions that I'd like to look at tonight are there few that be saved? Who can be saved? And what must I do to be saved? Andrew's already explained what it means to when it talk about being saved. It means to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. To realise that we sin. To realise that we do things wrong. That we disobey mum and dad. That we do things wrong at school. And that's what it comes to. We've got to realise that in our own lives. However old we are, however young we are. And we've got to come to the point in our lives where we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life and to ask Him to come into our heart and accept Him as our own personal Saviour. I can't do it for you. Andrew can't do it for you. No one here in this hall can do it for you. It's a personal dealing that you have with the Lord Jesus to come to know Him as your own Saviour. Luke chapter 13, and we'll read from verse number 22. And this is the Lord Jesus here, and He says, "And He went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto Him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And He said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And He shall answer and say unto you, I know you not where ye are. Then shall you begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But He shall say, I tell you, I know you not where ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." So the Lord Jesus was teaching here in this place, and He was going about doing the things that He always did. He's teaching the people how to live, what to do. And this question came to the Lord Jesus. Obviously, He was a person that people could talk to, and He had a crowd around Him. And someone came up from out of the crowd and said to the Lord Jesus, "Are there few that are going to be saved?" Well, let's have a look at today. As I look around about the people that are gathered here, I know a few people, I don't know you all. But I trust that the fair majority of the people that are sitting in this hall tonight know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And that's a wonderful thing. But there may be some people in this room here tonight that may have been pondering upon this or may have heard this message before. And they haven't taken that step of faith yet. They don't know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. And this question might be, you may be thinking about this question. If I get saved, how many other people are going to do it as well? How many other people are going to take that step as well? And look what the answer of the Lord Jesus, that Lord Jesus didn't answer the question straight out, with a number, with a yes, with a no. He came out with a wonderful thing. It says to strive. Now, we looked this morning at striving, and we gave the example, I'll give the example again, of an athlete who's running a race, and he can see the finish line. And the finish line is in sight. The athlete doesn't stop and give up and say, well, that's enough. I've run as far as I can. I'm going to give up. No, the athlete will continue on until he gets to that finish line. Whether he comes first, whether he comes last, he's finished the race. And that's what it means is to strive, to finish something. And it says there, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now, there are two gates. There's a wide gate and a narrow gate. If you can picture in your mind a big highway and a little street. And it says in the Bible that we are to strive to enter in at the straight gate. And that's the little street. And that is a picture to me, if we look at the population of the world, that there's going to be more people tread the road, as Andrew has already told us about, that will tread the road that will take them to hell. But there's only going to be a few people that take the road that's going to take them to heaven. So if we were to put an answer to that question, are there few that be saved? In our sight, in man's sight, we would probably say there's only going to be a few that's going to be saved. But as we'll see a little bit later, the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. God is over all. God wants everyone in this world to be saved. You here in Brisbane, people in Tasmania, people on the other side of the world, God wants everyone to be saved. So if God was answering that question, he would say, everyone. But if man, in man's thinking, are there few that are going to be saved? We would say there are only going to be a few that are going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. Down in the last verse that we read, it says there, at the second last verse, they come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. That's a wonderful thing for a Christian to realise that the gospel message isn't just going forth here tonight. It's going forth right around the world. People in halls like this or in many different ways, this message that we are presenting tonight is to everyone. And some people are going to be saved from all parts of the earth and they're going to come together in the kingdom of God. So yes, there will be some people saved, but we want you in this hall tonight to be saved, to come to that point in your life. The second question, who can be saved? We'll read some verses in Luke chapter 18. We've already looked at people from all parts of the earth that will be saved. Then we'll look at the question, who then can be saved? And this is a wonderful example to us. Luke chapter 18, and we'll just read a few verses from verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? There's the question. Who then can be saved? Who in this world can decide that I can be saved or that you can be saved? There's no one in this world that can make that decision. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ can make that decision. He gives an invitation to everyone. The invitation goes out here from this place every Sunday evening and on Thursday nights to the children. The invitation goes out to everyone. But here we have an example of a very rich man. Now, I was only watching television this week, and we all know that we're in a financial crisis, as they call it. And it showed different people in Australia how much money they were worth and how much money they'd lost. We all know James Packer, the man who owns the TV station. He had assets of about $4 billion and he'd lost over half of it. He'd lost over half of it. And you know, as Andrew has already reminded us, that man, when he dies, won't be able to take any of it with him. But here we have an example of a rich man who reckons he's been a good man, he's kept all the commandments, he's kept the things that it says in the Bible, and he's done them all. But then God gave him a challenge. And because this man was rich, he thought, well, what, I can do anything. So he gave him this challenge and he said, sell all that you have and give unto the poor. Well, can you just picture in your mind that conversation? I reckon that man's jaw dropped probably about 4 inches and he had nothing to say. He was so sad. He didn't want to give away his riches. He didn't want to give away what he'd made here on this earth. And you know, that little verse there, it says, it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When I was young, when I was first saved, I spoke on this verse. And I gave the example of a big camel going through the little eye of a needle. And I thought that was a great example. I thought there's no way. You ever know the size of a camel? And you know the size of the eye of a needle? There's no way. And I thought, well, that's a good example. I sat down and an old lady came up to me afterwards. And she said to me, and this is a great instruction that I received. Back in the olden days, they had gates. They'd go into the city. And beside the gate, it was called the needle's eye. And a camel, there's no way a camel could go through it. And that's where people went through, rather than open the gates to the city. But that's what the example was. You have a big thing, a big camel, going through a small place. And that's how hard it is for rich people, for people that love this world, for people that love other things apart from God, how hard it is to get to heaven. If you're sitting in this room tonight and you think, well, that's not me, I'm not rich, I don't own much. God loves rich people. God loves poor people. God loves everyone. And he wants everyone to be saved. So you might think that, and I thought, was a great example. The wonderful example that the Lord has given us. That he loved us so much that he went to Calvary. Now, just in our final few minutes, we'll look at the last question. And we'll turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and the last question is, what must I do to be saved? Well, we've learnt that we can't work our way to heaven. We can't go our own way. The only way is, and let's read about it, in Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And here is the answer, a very clear answer. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." There's the answer to the question. What must I do to be saved? There's nothing you can do to be saved. It's only trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. To come to that point in your life where you need a Saviour, where you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You've done as much as you can, and you have fallen short of going to heaven. The only thing that you can do now is ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Here, the keeper of the prison was just about to kill himself because he thought he'd failed. He had failed in his duty to keep the prisoners in jail. But he hadn't failed when it came to the point in his life when he looked at Paul and he looked at Silas and he said to them, "What must I do to be saved?" If you're sitting in this room here tonight, or if you can hear this message, you may be outside, I don't know. This question is for everyone. What can I do to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Saviour? Just like a child, you can ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and accept Him as your own and your personal Saviour.